Well, hi everyone.
Well, hi everyone.
Great to have you with us on Sunday, the 21st of June, 2020, for our service at East Mains Baptist Church. Wherever you're watching this, may you know God's blessing where you are today. In our service today, we'll be hearing from some of the EMBC church family about what they have been up to during lockdown. One of our senior leaders, Albert, is going to lead us in a time of praise and worship to Jesus. Our lead pastor, Mark Kearney, is going to be teaching the Bible from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9. So again, great to have you with us. We're going to hear from some of our church family just in a wee moment about what they've been up to during lockdown. But before we do that, I thought I would ask Andrew what he has been up to during lockdown. So Andrew, what have you been up to during lockdown?
Haircut.
You're getting a haircut. So Dad got his haircut last night. Andrew got his this morning. Good. Anything else?
Learning to ride my bike.
Learning to ride your bike. Fantastic. That's good.
New house.
Oh, you moved house. Good. Now, what's been happening
bathroom.
Since you moved house? And getting a new bathroom fitted. That's good. And what's happening downstairs right now?
Kitchen.
The kitchen's going in.
We're almost done.
And we're almost done, absolutely. So we're hoping that during this we don't hear any drilling noises from down the stairs. So thank you again for joining with us as we worship and praise our Lord and Saviour and King Jesus today. And now we're going to hear from some of the EMBC church family.
Church, this is Estella. And during this lockdown, there were up and downs for us. But thank God for the lovely weather. I also find a perfect window cleaner these days, and that's me. Really good job. And also very happy people started to wipe down the shopping trolley handle. I always wanted to do that even before lockdown anyway. And my husband and my daughter's hygiene standard had upgraded, so they wash their hands when they come home and I don't have to nag them, and that's really good. Thank God for our dog as well to keep my daughter company, as in, you know, she's the only child. And homeschooling has been challenging just like everyone else, but a positively productive one, so thank God for that. I also love it that hubby's working from home, so he does a lot more DIY, like painting the rooms and stuff like that, so fantastic. So that's all from me, and hope the summer will continue in Scotland, and stay positive, and God bless you.
Good morning, East Mains Baptist Church. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Liz, and I just wanted to share with you some of the things that I've been doing during lockdown. For those that are on my Facebook page, you will know that lots of jigsaws have been completed by myself. I've also done quite a bit of knitting. This one's currently for baby Ezra. The other thing I knitted was the ear protectors for the face masks, and I also made quite a number of thank you cards. When I first started making the thank you cards, my aim was that at the end of lockdown, lots and lots of people would be wanting to thank people for what they had been doing. But I actually found a way to send out these thank you cards, and that came through to Mia. So my thank you cards went out with the scrubs and the scrub bags and the ear protectors that were made. So they went into nursing homes and they went into hospitals. And they also were used to say thank you to a lot of people that had done a lot of work. So that was a really good way to be able to use my craft skills. I think the thing that I've enjoyed doing most during lockdown was using my phone. First of all, I've used the phone to phone people. I regularly phone three couples just to make sure everything's all right. But the other thing I did with my phone was I went through my contact list, and in the morning when I'd finished my devotions for the morning, I took my phone out and went through the contact list, starting at A all the way through, I think, to W. And each day I prayed for the people on my contact list. A one day, B the next, and so on. Not everyone in my contact book are Christians. And it was amazing After I'd prayed for the people, I then sent them just a little text just to say, I'm thinking about you today, I'm praying for you. And the response I got from my non-Christian friends was truly amazing. They really, really appreciated that somebody had taken time to think about them and to pray for them. And I just thought I would share that. It's maybe something that you would like to do for yourself. I know it certainly cheered me up every morning thinking, oh, who's next on my list? Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Hi everybody, it's Candice here. We've all been missing you at church lots and we thought we would show you a wee bit of what we've been up to during lockdown. So we have been very busy in our garden and we've decided to start growing some things. So Wiley's going to tell us all about what we've been growing. What's here?
Strawberries!
Lots of yummy strawberries. So hopefully if we can get back to church soon, we'll be able to bring some to share. And what's down here, Wiley? Wiley, what's down here? And here?
Potatoes!
Yep, so we've been very busy trying to... Oh!
Okay.
Oh, there we go. We've been very busy and we've also got a wee announcement to make in case MD didn't know. We have a new addition in Murrin.
Say hello.
Say hello, Murrin.
Hello, Murrin.
And we cannot wait to meet you all at church and introduce you to her. Bye.
See you later.
Hello. This is Frances McCart, trying for the umpteenth time to make a video for EMBC. I'm one of the seniors who lives in sheltered housing, so I just wanted to let you know how we are doing in our sheltered housing complex. We're getting on well. My husband is making this model railway, so it means that we have no use of our table anymore. And I've been busy crocheting lots of squares because I'm trying to make a rug to go over our a couch. We have been very, very lucky in where we are because we're at the end of a corridor. So on a Monday and a Thursday, our neighbours and I meet together and sit at our doors and have a blether and a knit and a natter. So we are keeping ourselves cheery. In fact, last Thursday, we had afternoon tea, which was rather nice from the Laupenstein. I've also been looking, watching our services each Sunday, and so has Johnny been watching Claremont. And sometimes we've been sharing a service together because a couple of weeks ago it was their communion, so it was rather nice to have a communion together. And that is something I've been missing is... from our time at EMBC that we had communion every second Sunday, and I miss having that, and I miss my friends at EMBC. So take care, everyone, and we send every blessing to you all.
Well, great to hear from some of our church family and hearing about what they have been up to during lockdown. Let's just take a moment now just to pray to God and to commit our service to him and to give him thanks. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity today to sing your praises, to hear from each other and to be in your word. Father, we thank you for who you are, a God who is holy, who is set apart, a God who loves us. Father, we just remember each other today as a church family and lift each other up before you. So Lord, for this time that lies ahead of us, we commit it to you. Be with Al as he leads us in a time of praise and worship, and Mark as well, Lord. Inspire him as he brings your word to us. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're just about to hand over to Al to lead us in a time of worship. But before we do that, I was thinking, Andrew, what are some of the favourite songs? God Suit, you like to sing God Suit when we're in church. Is there anything else?
Jesus.
Jesus, you're my superhero. Brilliant. And is there anything else? What about the actions like that?
Let your light shine.
Let your light shine.
Say flash.
No, not flash. Let your light shine. So, without further ado, we're going to hand over to Al. And as we do that, I'd encourage you just to open your heart to God as we praise him now.
Yes, Jesus, hope of the nations, we come to worship you. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who own. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source.
Children, remember your God. My God, that is who you are. worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you.
That is who you are, Jesus. Our great miracle worker, our way maker. We just come to you and ask you to speak to us. Come and speak by your Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice. As Mark preaches, let us hear your voice. Of every other voice.
Thank you so much to Al for leading us in worship today. And it's great to be able to bring God's word into your life this day. And we're back in the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 9. But verse 9 reads, "And the God of peace will be with you." And peace is our key word today. Often we associate peace with like quietness and stillness and calmness. And some of you during lockdown are probably fed up actually with peace and quietness. You're probably longing to get back out and interact more with people. Some of you, maybe you're working from home and you've got kids. You're the opposite. You're finding yourself saying, "Just gonna give me some peace." Well, as I've shared with you a number of times before, our house is called Shalom. And Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. And the couple before us named the house that. And if the word only meant peace and tranquility and quietness, then it would be a badly named house. Because it might surprise you, we are not always a quiet house. But this word peace, this word shalom, has a much richer and deeper meaning than just calmness and stillness and quietness. It can refer to harmony in relationships between people, between nations. It can be used to refer to the peace between God and the people he created, that's you and I. Particularly that peace that Jesus achieved for us in bringing us back into relationship with God. Also, very importantly, it refers to a sense of assurance, a sense of contentment that flows out of being at peace with God through Jesus. So as we come to our text today, we're going to see that each of us can know peace in our lives, in the richest and in the fullest sense of the meaning of that word. And Paul, as he's been doing throughout this letter, is quite directive in pointing us to action and application. There are things that we can do to cultivate a life of peace. As I was reading this passage this week, I was struck just how it so powerfully speaks into our lives today. There's still much uncertainty about COVID-19. There's so much tension caused by injustice in the world. And maybe you're listening today and you feel anxious and confused and angry and scared about circumstances in your life. And I do believe that God's word through his Holy Spirit is going to minister into your life today. So let me read to you then from Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading from the NIV translation. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. There's that, again, that sort of sense of just how much these people mean to Paul. He calls them his joy and his crown. Stand firm in the Lord this way, dear friends. I plead with you, dear, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. There are four beautiful words for our souls today. Eh? The Lord is near. We read on verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. You might read it, think at this point, wait a minute, Paul's telling me I have to rejoice always. He's telling me I have to be anxious about nothing. Does he know what's going on in my life? Well, let's read on. Verse 6 was said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together. Father God, as we open your word today, we ask that we would hear from heaven, that each of us listening today will have, no doubt in our own lives, will have thoughts and worries and concerns. And as we look at peace, Lord, we pray that you would just bring peace into our lives, that you would speak into situations, that we would be able to just quieten our hearts just now, and hear your voice in our souls here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Peace in your life today. How is this possible? Well, firstly, point your hearts to Jesus. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. This theme of joy, of course, has run through the whole letter. And it's always important that we remember the context. Paul's under house arrest. He's in his own lockdown. The Philippian church faces persecution and challenges. And Paul is saying to them, rejoice. In case you missed the point, he says it again, rejoice. And I wonder how these words are received in your life today. Rejoice always. Maybe you're thinking, rejoice? Do you know what's going on in my life? But if the root of Paul's joy had been his circumstances, then he would have had little to be happy about. But this joy comes out of him being in relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus had saved Paul. Jesus had forgiven him. Jesus had restored him. Jesus was now the centre of his life. And that's how he experienced joy. Joy that would overcome, joy that would traverse any challenge or sorrow that came into his life. The power of the cross heals the broken relationship between us and God. We make peace with God through Jesus. And Paul is saying, rejoice. Point your hearts to Jesus. Rejoice. John 15, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, when we point our hearts to Jesus, when we live close to Jesus, we are shaped more by him than by our circumstances. And joy is found and joy grows. Remain in his love. Dwell close to him. This again comes right back to what we've been talking about so much about the practices of a disciple that we need to be doing, reading our Bible, praying, fasting, silence and solitude, all these things that the Holy Spirit takes and uses to draw us closer to God. So point your heart to God and draw close to him and you'll know peace in your life today. But also point your mind towards Christ Jesus. And by that I mean it's about your attitude. Paul earlier in this letter is concerned, we know, about unity and this local church being at peace relationally with each other. And as he draws this letter to a close, he is concerned about a particular incident. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. This must be a very serious incident. Because Paul names them in this letter. There's no GDPR going on here. You can imagine maybe this letter being read out to the church and maybe these two women are in the congregation and Paul names them. And he's basically saying to them, hey, the two of you, get this sorted out. You know, one of the biggest things that robs us of peace in our lives are relational issues. Maybe with a boss. Maybe within a family, within a relationship, maybe a friendship issue. But Paul gives them help. He tells them to be of the same mind. And he's telling them, in many ways, he's telling them to point their thinking, to have the same attitude as Jesus. Think back, remember when we were in Philippians 2, if you can remember that, in verse 5, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And that word, that phrase that Paul uses there when he says be of the same mind, it's the same verb, it's the same expression, it's the same action that he's asking them to have. Because basically the two of them have got an attitude problem. They're thinking wrongly about each other and the problem. And Paul is saying to them again, think like Jesus. Have the same attitude as Jesus. How would Jesus deal and respond to this situation? You know, point your mind to Jesus and think and act like he would. You know, these are incredible women. You know, they had contended for the gospel, the truth of Jesus, by Paul's side. They're obviously fantastic women and very gifted. But something had gone wrong with their thinking and with their attitudes. And Paul is taking them back to that earlier point in this letter and saying to them, your attitude needs to be the same as Christ Jesus. You know, just as a side point, there's a lot of talk amongst economists. They're hoping for what they call a V recovery. You know, the economy has declined rapidly, but hopefully in the same way it will bounce back just as quickly. A V recovery. A sharp drop, but a sharp rise. I encourage you to read again those incredible verses in Philippians 2. It is the greatest V recovery in history. Jesus Christ humbling himself to death on the cross, but rising to new life, and God exalting him to the highest place. And maybe you think your life's just been on a downward trajectory during lockdown. Well, call out to Jesus, because he specialises in the V recovery. But back to our text, Paul is challenging the attitudes of these ladies and where their thinking is at. He says, let your gentleness be evidence to all. I mean, how many fallouts could have been avoided if the attitude of gentleness had been adopted? And gentleness is not a weakness. It's not a weak thing. In fact, the Greek word used to describe gentleness is describing someone who's got a temperament that's seasoned and matured, a level-headed person. In fact, they're so gentle and so kind of level-headed that they're all seized. You know, Paul says, let your gentleness be seen by all. You know, a gentle person is also a person that knows that the Lord is near, those great words that come after it. A gentle person knows that God's in control. And to have peace in your heart today, you know, God's word is telling us, you know, point your heart to God, but point your mind towards Christ as well. Have that attitude that Jesus would have. How would Jesus be responding to COVID-19 and to injustice and to job worries and to maybe some of the relationship challenges that you have in your life today? Thirdly, point your prayers to God. Paul goes on now to speak very powerfully about what we might refer to as our inner life. He says, do not be anxious about anything. And again, maybe you read this and think, Paul, what planet are you on? Rejoice always. And now we've got, do not be anxious about anything. Maybe you're listening and thinking, you know, to that, thinking, my job's unsure, I'm homeschooling, don't know what's going to happen with my kids' education. And you're saying, don't worry and rejoice always. But Paul brings the great antidote to worry into our lives, and it's prayer. Point your prayers to God. Bring it all to him. You know, prayers and petitions, that's things we're asking for. But also thanksgiving. This isn't just prayer where we're just asking for what we need. This is prayer where we're praising God for what he's been doing in our lives already. Paul is saying, talk to God. Bring it all to him. And something supernatural happens in your life. There's a peace that passes all understanding that will come into your life. Paul actually uses a military term. He said it will come and it will guard your hearts and minds. Like a unit of infantry, maybe gather around a building to protect it, or gather around a person to protect it. So God's surrounding peace will come around your life. The advice is clear. Pray. You want to know peace in your life? Then pray. Take it to God in prayer. Point your prayers to God. To know peace today, point your heart to God. Point your mind to Christ. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Point your prayers to God. And then finally, point your thoughts in the right direction. Your mind to Jesus is about having the same attitude as Jesus. Our thoughts are about the broader thinking that Paul goes on the list here. You know, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. you're probably like me at times, where certain tunes get into your head and they just get stuck there. And often it's a tune you would rather not be, you know, have playing in your head, like Baby Shark. Oh, just drives me crazy. And sometimes it just comes into my head and I'm like, no, go away. And Paul has been really practical here. He's saying, you know, be careful about what comes into your head, because it can affect how you experience peace in your life. You know, think about good things, he's saying. And Paul always encouraged good thinking. I mean, think about Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, many today would say to us, to experience peace, you've got to empty your mind, you've got to clear your mind, you've got to push things out. Paul would say, that's just rubbish. You've got to fill your mind, he would be saying, with what's true and right and praiseworthy. And you've got to speak truth into your mind. And this is where God's word can be so powerful in our lives, because it is speaking truth into our lives. And maybe we've got anxious thoughts going on about bad things. And then we think, how can I think of something different in me? We turn to God's word and, you know, 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And that counteracts maybe some of the bad thoughts that we're having. And his love endures forever. Maybe you've got lots of thoughts about being tired and weary. Again, we turn to God's word, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Again, maybe you're concerned at this time about how you're going to provide for your family. Maybe you've got lots of thoughts about that. Romans 8, 32 talks about God who did not spare his own son but gave up his son for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God will provide for you. For Paul, and for us still today, this word peace then, this word shalom, is so rich in meaning. It's about an inner rest. It's about a contentment. It's about an assurance in all areas of our life that flows out of our relationship with God. But it doesn't just drop in our laps. And Paul's very directive, you know, point your life to God. You know, rejoice in your salvation at all times. You know, point your mind to Christ. You know, have the same attitude that he would have that gentle and level-headed manner in your dealings with people. Point your prayers to God, take everything to him, and something supernatural will happen in your life. The peace of God will surround you. Point your thoughts in the right direction. Think about what you're thinking about. Think good thoughts that will build you up. As we come to close, verse 9, whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Paul's just saying, just do it. Apply it to your life. You're a disciple of Jesus. You know, Paul's saying, I'm being shaped by the life of Jesus. I'm trying to be an example of that life to you. So follow, put into practice the life of Jesus, he's saying. And the God of peace will be with you. Tremendous words for us to come to a close on. The God of peace is with you today. You know, today the Lord is near. Today you can know a peace in your life that passes all understanding. And as I come to close, I want to just give you that time to sit with God's word for a bit. You know, what has God been saying to you today? Has he been saying to you, don't lose sight of what I've done in your life. Don't look sight of where the root of your joy is and dwelling in me and drawing close to me because I'm your saviour and I love you. Has he saying to you, you know, don't let a relational difficulty rob you of peace. You know, look at your attitude. How are you approaching it? Are you being gentle in that situation? Is your attitude right? And maybe, you know, have a think about that. you know, maybe God's just saying to you about prayer. We always come back, don't we, to the importance of prayer. And maybe God's just saying to you again, you know, bring it all to me. Bring all your anxious thoughts. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, bring it to him. In petition, in thanksgiving, bring it to the Lord today. You know, and maybe you just need to just think about what you're thinking about. Maybe if you're feeling you've got a lot of negative thoughts, then arm yourself with some good thoughts. Get into God's word. Write down some of the promises. Have them on a bit of card. If you feel a negative thought coming in, look at that card. God will never leave me or forsake me. Thank goodness for that, God. Thank you. And just fill your mind with good thoughts. You know, Al's going to lead us in a time of worship, but before he does that, let me just pray for us, and then I'll hand over to Al, and just take this time, as always, to dwell in God's presence. Let us pray together. Father God, we just come here now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you've been speaking into our lives today. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and minister into our lives. Right where you're at home just now, just open your arms to him and say, Holy Spirit, come. Speak and minister into my life now. Lord, I pray specifically that you would bring peace into people's lives today, that you would bring that supernatural peace that is beyond understanding, that you would guard their hearts and their minds with your peace this morning, Lord. I'm calling in God's guarding, peaceful presence into your life today. Know that peace is a stillness in your soul. So just listen to God now as we move into worship. Just be still and know that I am God, as we read in his word. Just dwell in his presence and allow the Holy Spirit to minister into your soul this day. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great your faithfulness, oh God my Father, oh God my friend. Love it never ends, and so I love you until the end. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us. Through the years you'll always be there. So great your kindness, God. You are our shelter, our dwelling place. Your presence like a fire. Hope for tomorrow, strength for today. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you'll never change. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us. Through the years you'll always be there. We will stand upon your promises. We are strong because our hope is in you. We will run, we will run, we will run. We belong, we belong, we belong to you. To you. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us. Your love for us. Through the years you'll always be there. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us. Your love for us. Through the years you'll always be there. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us. Your love for us. Through the years you'll always be there. Yes, we thank you so much, Jesus, for your faithful love for us. You've always been there and you always will be. So I ask that the peace of your presence will rest on everybody watching this today. And may that just linger with them throughout the rest of this day. And Lord, we just want to honour you by trusting you. And through that experience, your perfect peace. We thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you to Al for leading us in worship and praise, and to Mark for bringing us that message from God's Word today. It's been great to have some of our own church family that we heard from earlier on too. And I trust that as you go into this new week, your heart will be encouraged. And let me read to you Philippians 4 and verse 8 again. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And maybe you can take that verse into this week. And as I was reading it, just there again, the person of the Lord Jesus came to mind. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. That is Jesus, isn't it? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Again, that is our Lord Jesus. So brothers and sisters, let's fix our thoughts in the Lord Jesus this week. And may you be blessed. Amen.
Amen.